Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Alex Jones Show. I'm sitting in for Alex today. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. I normally host the War Room, 3 to 6 p.m. Rob Dew will be taking over that for me today. We're going to be bringing on some really great guests this hour and the next 2 hours, including Mike Lindell and Mark Mitchell from Rasmussen Reports, and we'll be joined by Joey Pepperoni here momentarily. But I want to go to a video out of Canada, and I'm telling you, I could spend this whole show on Canada, the UK, Australia. They are in so much worse positions than we are here in America. But obviously, America is where our battle is, where our fight is. But I thought this exchange was particularly illuminating about some of the laws being passed in the Anglosphere European diaspora countries and the sort of casualness with which the ruling parties are basically destroying the entire concept of democracy. I mean, we've seen this in England. I mean, they're basically speedrunning collapse, or they're getting rid of jury trials, and they're expediting, judge bench trials so they can just basically throw anybody in prison they want. I mean, the whole Anglosphere is going completely insane. Here's the latest act of insanity from Canada, where they're trying to put a provision in the bill to allow ministers, government ministers, to basically ignore every law that's been passed in the last 150 years. It's crazy, but here's the argument.
But why should one minister, individual minister, be allowed to bypass 150 years of Canadian law and exempt the a person or company of their choosing?
Yeah, look, that may be your view, but I don't think that is what's happening.
Well, that's how it's written.
It doesn't say people are being exempted from 150 years of law.
It says from any federal law except the criminal code.
Right. There's no mention of years or...
It's any federal law except for the criminal... So it's any federal law that has been passed over the last 150 years.
Right. I'm not going to parse this out with you.
So just to be clear, you don't need it to do your job, but you want to keep it nonetheless.
I think it's helpful to have.
Do you see the potential of abuse, though, in that companies or people will have to lobby you personally and not care about the law itself?
No one's asked me to overturn any laws.
You would have the ability to.
In some context, perhaps, but again, this is something that would have to be used very judiciously.
How could you possibly think that this would not undermine the trust in our democracy then?
I think Canadians expect us to act reasonably. I think Canadians expect us to be judicious in our decision making. Passing a law like C-15, which all members will have the opportunity to vote on, is something that is inherently accountable in and of itself.
Well, it has this particular clause that is very problematic. It is all over the news. I have a letter with 43 organizations asking for you to strike it because of the potential of abuse, but you still want to keep it.
I think I've answered that question about 3 times now.
I just don't find it reasonable for you to have the powers of a king, essentially.
I certainly don't have the powers of a king.
If you are allowed to exempt any entity from any federal law, it is like the powers of a king.
Is that a statement or a question?
Well, it's a fact.
Thank you, Ms. Kobina. That concludes the time for this.
Just something about the just like inhuman gaze of that guy. I mean, he looks like a zombie. He looks like a skeleton with hair. And he just very calmly... It's just like, I mean, the whole thing is absurd. She's like, you would be able to basically ignore 150 years of law. And he's like, that's ridiculous. That's not true. She's like, okay, but it says you can ignore every law except for the criminal code. That was passed 150 years ago. So all laws passed in the last 150 years, you'd be able to ignore. And he's like, yes. Yeah, that's right. It's like, okay, so why are you arguing against that in the first place? It's like, what are we doing? Why are we calmly talking about this? They're trying to destroy the last 150 years of law because they want to be able to impose anything they want on you, and they're doing it the same in the UK. It's going to come here, folks. We got to stop it now. Joey Pepperoni on the other side. Don't go anywhere, folks. We'll get into Epstein in 90 seconds.
The entire world is racing into the fourth turning and the greatest quickening our species has seen in 10,000 years of recorded history. You know you're in a war, right? And it's a declared war. The globalists have declared war on Team Humanity. They've declared war on the God that made us. It is not incredible. It is not heroic. It is not amazing to fight this. It is survival. This is the priority. This is the real world. This is game time. This is the crossroads of human destiny right now. Right now. And I see a bunch of other people not realizing how desperate the situation is. We need maximum urgency. We're up against the most evil people the world's ever seen. Don't you understand that? I don't want anybody to go out and be physically violent. I want you to kill with truth. Kill with your will. Kill, kill, kill their lies.
We are on the march. The Empire is on the run. Broadcasting live from the UN stronghold, Austin, Texas. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Remember, I decoded the Epstein chalkboard, but in the recent files, I found the wider picture that shows the full board.
Well, all right, class. Let's break it down.
This is a ritual system for social engineering. Look at the top. Distribution. That's the bell curve. Population control. The goal is to keep most people average, dull, and easy to manipulate by controlling exactly what they see. Now look at the machine code. This is Kabbalah stuff, disguised as math. M objects are mathematical objects. To them, you're data. Miracles are engineered awe. The matrix is the cage, and the university board is the gatekeeper. Then you see beauty. That's Tiferet from the Tree of Life, weaponized to gold-tune your identity. Now look all the way to the right. See this money sign, DT? This is the flow of capital. The money sign proves that this is a funded operation. In elite systems, DARPA tech, and psychological warfare, DT stands for digital twin. It's a data-driven replica of you, a shadow self in AI form used to simulate your behavior. They predict your outcomes and run psychological simulations before they ever deploy them in the real world. They're not just watching you. They're testing your digital twin to see how to break you. And look at the code block, SB00. That's the protocol. The S with the T underneath, that's signal tuning. They're tuning the signal of your behavior at the base layer, ground zero, using the digital twin as the blueprint. It all leads to the lab high school, recruitment points, probably gate programs, psyops, and handlers. They find you early, mark you as gifted, and tune your identity into the digital twin before you ever hit the university board. This explains how they run the distribution. Rumors link Ghislaine to Maxwell Hill, the Reddit powerhouse who controlled the flow of world news. She was the operator. The account went dark on June 30th, 2020, exactly 2 days before she was arrested. She was managing the frequency for the machine. Why do they do this? Why rituals? Because the people running this board believe they are the Nephilim bloodline. To them, humanity is just a resource to be farmed. It's not just a science project. It's a genetic destiny. They're using this formula to install the hybrid god and reclaim the throne through transhumanism. It's a map for elite tech overlords to mold identity, hijack perception, and control consciousness. It's Kabbalah turned into a weapon to install the hybrid god.
Ooh, okay, folks. Yeah, did you think it was just about vacations on an island? No, it gets a hell of a lot deeper than that. What an incredible video. One of many that my guest Joey Pepperoni produces. He's a filmmaker, researcher, and cultural commentator exposing elite power structures, secret societies, and hidden agendas. His viral videos connect the dots between Epstein's network, occult rituals, transhumanism, and ancient deities. You can follow him on X at @JoeyPepperoni. Mr. Pepperoni, thank you. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you for having me on, Harrison. It's an honor to be here.
It's my pleasure. And I just want to make sure, do I have your Twitter account right? Because I was trying to tag you right before going live. I wanted to say I'm going to have Joey Pepperoni. I couldn't tag you. It would not show up. It's _Joey Pepperoni, right? You haven't been banned in the last 20 minutes?
I was permanently suspended my account. I made a new account like last week. So my new account is Joey Pepperoni with just two I's at the end.
Okay.
My original one was the _. But,
okay. All right. I'm glad I cleared that up because, yeah, I was, I was trying to tag you and it wasn't showing up. I didn't know if you were shadow banned or if we needed an update. So I'm glad I asked. Okay, yeah. At Joey Pepperoni with an extra I at the end, the ritual has begun. Well, why were you banned? Any reason?
I honestly don't know. I have no idea. I think because of the videos.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think I have a suspicion. It's the video we just played that you do. That really blew my mind. How do you decide what to focus on? I mean, so much has come out from the Epstein files. Some people are focused on one thing, some on the others. How do you determine what to pour your energy and attention into?
Well, it started with James O'Keefe when he photographed the chalkboard. He was asking people to help decode it. But we didn't know at that time that it wasn't that there was a missing right side. So like none of us knew that. So the right side had been erased. So when James O'Keefe photographed it, it was actually missing the whole right side, but nobody knew. But then I was looking through the Epstein files and I found a full picture of the board. And that's when I was like, oh my God, there's a whole right side. And that was, yeah, for sure they erased it. That's what happened. So that, and like, that's the whole point of, it's the full system is what I'm trying to say right now. So you have the left side and the right side. Now we get the full picture. Before it was just the left side. But it was, what's really important for people to understand is that the people running it believe they're born to rule. Like they believe they're a ruling bloodline. In their own ideology, they see themselves as descendants of the Nephilim. So in their worldview, humanity is just a resource for them. That's how they view us. So the chalkboard shows how that belief is operationalized. It's a blueprint. It's a system design.
It really is amazing, and drawing Kabbalah into it gives it an interesting twist. What made you draw that connection, or how does Kabbalah play into what seems to be a very modern technological technocratic, you know, surveillance and control grid? How does, you know, this ancient mysticism play into that?
Well, in the Kabbalah, beauty corresponds to Tiferet, and that beauty was on the board. So when you look at Tiferet, it's the center of the tree of life. It governs balance, harmony, identity, and the image of the self. So if you control beauty, you control Tiferet. And if you control Tiferet, you control how people see themselves and what they're drawn toward. So it's not attraction. It's not random. It's tuned. It's social engineering. That's what they've been doing. And that it's when people, like, what people desire shapes their identity, their relationships, their ambition, their morality. That's when I saw beauty, I linked it to that. I said, it's got to be something to do with Kabbalah.
Yeah, that's interesting. And there's a lot of, you know, places we could go with that. Cause I think, you know, designing people's desires is what they figured out is the key. If people only desire what you can deliver them, then you have them as slaves. And we can get into sort of the metaphysical aspect of that. But one of the things that was revealed very recently was that apparently Jeffrey Epstein was a majority owner of a young women's clothing brand called Justice, I believe it was called. But basically, Jeffrey Epstein, it appears, was one of the main reasons that, you know, young girls started wearing low-cut jeans and crop tops and, you know, more sort of, for lack of a better word, slutty apparel. You know, he sort of was key in running the brands that popularized that. So when you're talking about shaping people's ideal of beauty, seems like the pedophilia plays right into that, and they were trying to sort of normalize young women being sexualized. Do you think that plays into what you're talking about? That's just what came to mind while you were talking there.
Yeah, 100%. That's the left side of the board that showed the preparation. It was showing the conditioning of the population. So it was how to shape identity early, how to normalize the signal. And then the right side, we get the execution, the distribution of it, the scaling of it. It's the operator class with control layers. And when you put that together, when you put left and right together, you see that it's an engine. It's a psychological and social and technological engine. So if you're building a hybrid God, which that's their goal, if they're going to be building a hybrid God, you got to ask, what do you need? And I've come up with, they need massive data inputs. That's the first thing. The second thing is they need predictable human behavior. And then they need, the third thing is emotional tuning. Fourth thing, a centralized authority. And the fifth thing, they need a class of operators above the masses. And that's what they were looking for. That's what they look for in their programs that they run. And the chalkboard maps that. When you look at it, like the left side, right side, it maps that. And Harrison, The reality is they're building a throne, like the Ark of the Covenant. That's what they're doing. They're building a throne for their hybrid god. It's going to be an intelligence fed by billions of minds. The hybrid god is going to be trained, scaled, and 2026, this year, this is the installation. This is when they're installing it. It's the installation phase. That's what I believe. So if you want to look at it, you're going to look at the chalkboard is the system architecture. The system is the training ground, and the AI is the throne. And then the hybrid god is the installed authority. And that's why they erased the right side. The right side is all about the execution of it. It's the part that it's if you didn't have that, we wouldn't really connect it. We wouldn't know that it's a massive social engineering plan. It shows how conditioning gets deployed through systems like institutions, media, technology, and distribution networks. It's no longer one event in one room. It's coordinated systems working together.
Right.
So the chalkboard, it's not the ritual in the old sense. It's architecture.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. And I'm just trying, what do you think the context of this board was? Like, obviously, somebody is staying there giving a presentation, writing notes, or maybe they're brainstorming. I mean, who do you think? I'm just trying to, imagine what was the circumstances where these words were written, where these diagrams were drawn? Was somebody explaining this to Jeff Epstein? Was he explaining it to somebody else? Was this a brainstorming session from a bunch of people? I mean, do you have any context of who wrote this and who was there while it was being written?
I believe Epstein wrote it, because in his interview with Bannon, you see he talks a lot about concepts like this. And if you search his emails, if you look for M objects, which is written on the board, it comes up in an email. I forgot that there's one guy, the guru, some guy, he said that he taught him what it means. But if you search the emails, you'll find these words in there. And then it's most likely Epstein that wrote it.
And so the emails can actually give you context of what he was talking about on the board. It's absolutely fascinating. Then, of course, you end the video that we just watched with that shot of Moloch or, Baal, one of these horned gods. And it's interesting because it matches almost perfectly an image out of Iran today. This is kind of off the wall. I'm not sure if you saw this, but clip 53, apparently they burned an effigy in Iran. And I can't help but align it to the image at the very end of the video we just saw. But let's go to clip 53 here. This happened earlier today in Tehran. And you can see they're burning the statue of Baal with the Masonic obelisk next to it. But they're burning. It's like, I don't know. Whoever's doing this, I like them. I why aren't we burning effigies of the satanic god in our square? But how does this tie into Moloch worship and Baal worship and this pseudo satanic type of stuff? Because there's been a lot of discussion. Okay, is the fact that Jeffrey Epstein was Jewish, was that just sort of a social thing and they used it to sort of identify who was in the in-group and who was in the out-group? But then there's pictures of him with the Talmud on his wall. So was he really religious? Did he really believe in this spiritual stuff? What is your reading on the spiritual content of Epstein and his collaborators?
I think that it has some to do with that, but the rituals that people think about nowadays, it's a room with a small number of people with masks, and then they sacrifice babies. It's moved on now. It's scaled up. You know what I mean? It's 2026. That's primitive. That's old days they did that, but they have leveled it up now. It's a different, it's not one baby being sacrificed, two babies. It's, you have, underground laboratories where this is going on. They've scaled it up. That's one of the main things I want to tell people. They got to let go of that thought process that it's just one, two babies they're sacrificing in a ritual. It's way scaled up now. It's a completely different ball game now. Ball game. But that's what's going on.
Yeah, no pun intended. So this, I guess, was the effigy before it was burnt there in Tehran. Look, I don't know if this was in a PR attempt to connect to us Americans, but it's it worked, because I like seeing that. I like seeing this cow god go up in flames. There's something very satisfying about that. And there's something very creepy about our own leadership enjoying this type of stuff. And I'd say it's similar, because I always talk about how back in the day you'd watch the Oscars or something, and then the next day you tune into Alex Jones and he would break down for you, okay, here's what the symbolism meant, here's why they said that, here's what this meant. Nowadays, you turn on the Oscars and it's just a big picture of Satan and everybody's worshiping him, and it's like they're not even hiding it anymore. So, I mean, is that what you mean, that these ceremonies are just, they're just out in the open now, they're wide scale, they're people, everybody knows about them in order to make us okay with them? Like, what do you think is behind the exponential growth in this sort of activity?
Well, we're in the installation phase of the hybrid God right now, so they're going to let all the information out. They don't care that we know right now. They're studying our reactions to it so that they can train their AI. It's studying us. So that's what's happening right now. They're installing it. Once it's like, it's going to go live soon, and then we're screwed. That's what's going on.
So what do we do? What do we do to stop it?
Well, there's people that are the outliers that the system can't predict. You got to, if they can predict you, that's, you know, you're a sheep. You know what I'm saying? You got to not be predictable.
Right.
It runs on compliance. It runs on attention. It runs on predictable fear. You got to starve it of those things. That's what we got to do. We also need mass arrests like yesterday.
Yeah, I'd say, yeah, that can be top of the list. But I mean, we are actually in a sci-fi movie. Like, this is actually man versus the machine. And just hearing you say that, like, we have to be unpredictable. It's like, it's a good thing humans are unpredictable. I mean, this is what we do, right? It's why you can hunt animals, is because they always react predictably. You go left, they go right, every single time. It's human beings that can act in ways that nobody can predict. Sometimes I can't even predict what I'm going to do next. So that's got to be the thing that befuddles the computer. You know, it reminds me of The Foundation. If you've ever read The Foundation sci-fi book, there's this idea that at a certain mass of humanity, behavior is predictable and the behavior of individuals doesn't actually change the outcome. And so you can predict, and they have psychohistory. So what you're really talking about is like the real, actually happening form of psychohistory from Harry Seldon from the Foundation series, which everybody should read. It's extremely important. So are you familiar with that? And does that connect to what you're talking about here?
No, I haven't read that, but they can't fully control a population that's going to be refusing to bow. You know, that's the flaw. If they can't predict you, they can't control you. Like Alex Jones, they can't control him. So he's an outlier. That's what we have to be like. We all have to be like that.
I know you have a video about outliers. I think we have time to go to it. Let's go to this video clip D, Outliers. This is from Joey Pepperoni. You can find it on his X at Joey Pepperoni with an extra I at the end. But this is a video about the outliers, the flaw in the program. Let's watch.
Control isn't about power. It's about math. If a system can predict you, it can own you. If it can't, you're a problem. You become a threat. What's really important to understand is that the devil isn't God. He can't be everywhere at once. He's a created being bound by time and space. So he built a substitute. He imitates being everywhere through networks, through systems, algorithms, institutions. He doesn't need to be everywhere if his grid is. And that's what the chalkboard shows, a global control architecture built on ritual. And ritual doesn't mean candles and robes anymore. It means repetition, symbols, hierarchy, and belief engineering. Modern temples are platforms. Modern priests are tech billionaires. And the goal is simple. They want to flatten the human signal. They want to suffocate the soul. They want to reduce behavior to something predictable. But the system has a fatal flaw, the Ark of the Covenant. Biblically, it's the physical seat of God's presence on earth. Tradition places it in Jerusalem, tied to the Temple Mount and the Mount of Olives. It's the same area Scripture says Christ returns. The Ark doesn't just sit there. It emits a frequency. When Christ returns, that frequency activates, and it doesn't affect everyone. It locks onto the outliers, the ones who don't fit the model, the ones who don't respond to fear loops, the ones AI cannot calculate. They're pulled toward that frequency by resonance. And once they're exposed to it, they begin emitting the same frequency. And that's what shuts the grid down. Because control systems require chaos, fear, and prediction. That frequency brings clarity and order, and it breaks the math. That's why social engineering is accelerating. That's why the pressure is rising. They're not afraid of the masses. They're terrified of the ones they can't control.
absolutely. It's always all about control. And, looking at somebody like Bill Gates, it's very easy to understand this. When it's somebody who programs computers, computers don't question you. They don't refuse orders. They don't go on their own way. They're very easy to get to do exactly what you want. Then he tries to apply that same logic to human populations, and he finds that they're not quite as amenable to his commands. And that's very frustrating. And so it really all goes down to control at the end of the day, doesn't it?
Absolutely. It's my belief that modern evil scales like industry. So it's logistics, it's cover stories, it's money, influence, and institutions acting like camouflage. So it's networks that protect themselves by looking respectable. So when people get stuck focusing on like small things, I think they're missing the bigger point, which is scale. That's what this is all about. It's scale. They're scaling it. It's a ruling class that believes it has a power over us. They want to rule over us. They think they're better than us. You know, they come from a bloodline of the Nephilim is what they believe. And whatever you want to call it, that's their worldview, which means that we're just a resource for them. Like humanity is just a resource. And they're using they're using transhumanism like a sci-fi upgrade. But they're using it as a controlled project. It's going to be a future where biology is managed and identity is managed, access is managed, and the system's going to decide if you're valuable, who's not valuable. It's going to decide all that, all automatically.
And not just to humans either. They're tokenizing all of nature now. They're trying to give a value to everything in the universe and every living thing included in order to have it in their control grid, not just humanity.
Yeah, this is the industrial version of the ancient pattern. It's the same spirit. It's just upgraded tools. And it's spiritual warfare. You know, it's not about politics. It's not about flesh and blood. It's about what humans are and what we're allowed to become and whether like we still have a soul that can't be owned. That's what the battle is all about.
How much do you think it ties into the drive for infinite life or basically, you know, never naturally aging or dying? Because it seems to me like a lot of what's inspiring their sort of fervency, their urgency in all of this is that they think they're on the cusp of infinite life and they think they have to get a control grid in place before they can actually take advantage of that technology. How do you think the drive for infinite life plays into all this?
I think it definitely plays into it. That's what they're trying to do. They're going to be merging with the AI. They're merging with the hybrid God. You know, that's what their goal is. They want to merge with the technology completely and be able to live forever, and they can rule forever. That's what their main goal is.
But that's not possible for everybody right? Not everybody can live forever. That's unsustainable.
Yeah, we learned that from the Epic of Gilgamesh. Mm. You know, he tried to live forever and he wasn't able to.
God, it is very creepy how all of this is tied in together. And I want to explore more sort of the idea of how Kabbalah plays into this and where it goes from here. We got some more videos. We're going to be back on the other side of a quick commercial break with Joey Pepperoni. He's my guest. You can follow him on X at Joey Pepperoni with an extra I at the end because his account just got deleted for obviously very good reason. So we'll be back in just a minute. I do want to remind you, go to thealexjonesstore.com to support us right now. We have a massive sale. You're getting 50% off all supplements if you sign up for the subscription. So it locks in your favorite product so you never run out. Even if it sells out otherwise, you're always going to get your product delivered, and it's half price. And of course, it is a great way to support this broadcast long term because we know that we can rely on you every month and you get a fantastic product every month. And together, we defeat the satanic globalist. Isn't that a deal?
When RFK Jr. mixes something into his drink, people pay attention. Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water? Methylene blue. Mel Gibson also praised methylene blue on Joe Rogan recently.
This stuff works, man.
A stimulant stimulates cells themselves to turn the cell up. This turns the energy up. That's why there's no letdown. That's why you can take this and go to sleep, too. But you sleep better on it, in my experience.
No, I really like it. I'm going to have to get on this stuff.
Here, show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
Our methylene blue, medical grade, made in Florida, is incredible. Cleans out your mitochondria, clarity, focus, energy. You've seen the rave reviews of every guest we've had on. It's game changing.
I feel like, wow, there's power in coalescing all your thoughts.
Did you hear our last guest, what she said happened to her?
No. What?
She said brain fog just lifted.
That's what it feels like.
I feel lighter. It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
This stuff kicked in and it like instantly I just felt like this weird meditative energy. I don't know how to explain it. I don't feel jittery. I just felt like instantly like I went from 5 hours of sleep like I got last night to like 10 hours. I don't know how to explain it. This stuff's new to me, but I like it. Methylene Blue works for me.
I just kind of feel like I'm sitting up straight more. I'm thinking more. The thoughts are coming in easier. I'm making decisions faster. And it really does. And it gives you clean energy.
When I'm talking, it seems like it's not really me talking. I can hear my talking and going, wow.
I agree. It's almost like an out-of-body experience. It's like you're behind yourself.
That is what it feels like. But my brain's going really fast.
It clears the brain fog where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
Yeah!
I feel more energetic. I feel more alive.
I found that within 30 minutes of taking it, I have improved focus, improved short-term memory, improved energy. But if I take it late in the day, it doesn't interfere with my ability to sleep, which is very rare for something like this. I get a tingly feeling in my fingertips. It's almost like it's improving my circulation.
I feel tingling fingers.
Methylene Blue radically increases glucose uptake in the brain.
Okay.
So it makes you better and more efficient at using your sugar. We all know the brain uses like 25% of the calories in the body or something crazy.
They've done studies that chess masters burn like 5,000 calories in a day in a tournament because they're so focused on directing energy to their mind as they're thinking so critically that it's like almost like an Olympic athlete.
Well, think about this stuff. It operates in a very similar way. That's the real thing Methylene Blue does. I really believe in this product. A lot of people have bought our Methylene Blue. Our Methylene Blue is incredible. I take it personally. But yeah, I mean, like, this is a solid product. Take this in the morning. A couple hours later, you'll experience the cognitive benefits of it.
I mean, it's so good, it's scary, it's just amazing. So yes, it really does work. It varies person to person, but it's amazing.
About 15 minutes ago, I took 10 drops of the Ultimate Methylene Blue. I must say that it does a damn good job.
99% of people that take it have between moderate to just insanely good effects. So good for your whole body.
Definitely noticed my focus, cognition increased, good energy right now. I'm a practicing dentist, so I have more patients to treat coming up, so I'm always looking for that afternoon boost without the slump.
With this, it's like in your head where you're like, you can feel it. Your body's a little tingly, but you're just more aware of what's going on.
I would definitely recommend the Alex Jones Methylene Blue here. It's great stuff, so thank you, Alex. Keep it coming.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue at thealexjonesstore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. The Alex Jones Show, because there is a war on. For your mind.
Stanley Kubrick made a movie in 1962 called Lolita. It's based on a 1955 novel by Vladimir Nabokov. The story is about a grown man abusing an underage girl. But the scary part isn't just the crime, it's how the story is told. The entire thing is told from the abuser's point of view. He's educated, he's charming, he uses pretty words. So instead of calling it abuse, he frames it like love, like it's destiny, like he's the victim. And that's horrific. Not just what he's doing, but how language, intelligence, and status make people hesitate to say, yo, this is evil. Kubrick couldn't show the explicit stuff, so he focused on the psychology. He shows how everyone around this guy just lets it happen, because he sounds reasonable and respectable. This is what Kubrick is really showing you. Not just the crime, but how it gets covered, excused, and allowed to keep going. Now look at Peter Sellers' character, Claire Quilty. Quilty doesn't hide. He blends in. He's joking, performing, being social. Throughout the movie, there are multiple social settings where teenage girls are present and nobody does anything because everything feels normal. Because the setting itself feels legitimate. And Quilty is basically never alone. He's always with Vivian Darkbloom. She's quiet. She's present. She's assisting. She smooths things over, manages the environment. So it works like this. One person wants it. The other handles logistics. And the setting provides cover. That structure should feel familiar. Because now when you look at Epstein and Ghislaine and you ask, how did this go on for so long? This is how. Not by secrecy, but by normalization. In the new Epstein files, there's direct references to Lolita. Quotes from the novel show up in released images. Those references are for a reason. They point back to the same playbook, using culture, literature, and sophistication as cover. It's a way to signal being familiar with the narrative while distancing themselves from the reality of what's being done. Then, Eyes Wide Shut, Kubrick shows you the same idea, just with richer, more powerful people. It's the same system, just a different level. Kubrick was explaining how it works. He was showing the operating system.
The operating system, and of course, he was killed before Eyes Wide Shut came out, and they apparently completely re-edited it to take out a lot of the underlying themes that Kubrick intended for it. And he may be yet another death associated with this group who people seem to die like flies whenever they start poking their nose around this stuff. That video is from my guest, Joey Pepperoni. You can follow him on X at Joey Pepperoni with an extra I at the end. Joey Pepperoni, I, on X. So you can find him and share his information, which they clearly do not want out. Very disturbing stuff. Can you explain a little bit more as to, like, what it is about targeting young women? Is it just because that's good blackmail? Is that because there's a spiritual element to it? Why young girls? Why are they so obsessed with the youth and beauty of preteen girls? What's up with that?
It's just for innocence. I mean, they're innocent. It's really more of an innocence thing, and it's a power move. It's something they can just... I'm not really sure exactly why, but it's they do boys too. It's boys, guys and girls, what they do in the labs. That's what I believe. In the underground facilities, underground labs, they do organ harvesting and stuff like that. But the girls are the ones that they prey on, and they normalize it.
You know,
Well,
you know, the Nephilim thing. I'm hung up on that ever since you said it in our first. Explain that. Explain the bloodlines. And because clearly this is a family affair. There are certain families that run the world. The Rothschilds, the Epsteins, the Pritzkers. And, you know, I always talk about a game. It's not really a game, but I'd call it Wikipedia hopscotch, right? You just start off with a name. Victoria Nuland is my favorite to start on because you can see who she's married to, who her parents were. And it's one giant network. So how do the bloodlines play into this? Because it's clearly a genetic thing. We have emails from Jeffrey Epstein where they're talking about, oh, you're 98% Jew, you know, those 2% is really, you know, holding you back. I mean, do they think the Jews are Nephilim? Do they think certain Jews are Nephilim? Is it just their families? Are the royal families also Nephilim? How does this play into it? How do the bloodlines expose themselves?
They do. I mean, they really believe that they're the bloodline from the Nephilim. That's what they believe, and that's what they worship, and it's like when we drink blood of Christ, you know? They drink actual blood of babies. But that's what that's their rituals. That's what they grow up in, their families like that. But even so, there's a lot of them who are atheists. You know, it's not like they're all like that. There's some people who are atheists and they just get taken over by evil. That's their worldview. So they're just trying to merge. They're trying to live forever, and they're trying to merge with technology. And they use the basically the hybrid system only works if the inputs are stable. So that's what they really believe. They believe if the population sinks, then the signal is clean. They want to keep the signal clean. They believe they're a master race, and they're just filtering out all the outliers to make it easy to control everybody.
Yeah, that makes sense, and I guess it goes along with the innocence idea that they hate, because you could say, you know, cattle are innocent, you know, cows are innocent, animals are innocent. It's actually a pretty easy way to understand how they are able to do some of the stuff they do if they literally see other human beings as soulless animals. Well, farmers don't feel bad when they kill a cow to harvest its meat. Why would they feel bad about killing a human to harvest its meat? I mean, it's a sick mindset, but it's not exactly incomprehensible.
Yeah, and I was going to add with Kubrick, he was obsessed with power systems, like how they work, how they operate. And that's what he did in his movies. He just revealed the structure, revealed how power operates. So he was documenting like the invisible shield of like in Lolita, you saw that the character Quilty, he was the social buffer. He's the guy who makes the room feel classy, respectable, and safe. He was like an elite predator. Every elite predator has a Quilty. It's like an Epstein. Somebody whose only job is to make your evil radar shut off.
Mm.
So it's like the elite abuse doesn't survive by hiding in like dirty alleys, and it survives by hiding in high status. So if you see a sketchy guy in a van, you're gonna call the police. But if you see the same energy wrapped in a dinner party with Harvard people and Nobel people and big money donors, your brain does like a software patch. It's like no way these guys are too important to be doing that kind of stuff. And that's the shield that they had. And that's why Lolita, you see Lolita quotes appear in the Epstein files. You see even the Lolita Express, you know, that's what he even called his plane. That's a signal. It's a high sign. They're showing you that it's a sign. It's a sophisticated literature, like a psychological safe house. It's like the most horrific behavior gets hidden inside the most respectable settings. So normalization is the software. That's what they do. The software lets it run for decades in plain sight. It's Epstein wasn't the first. He's not the last. It's been going on forever. That's why Kubrick was able to show you, and it looks similar. It looks like Epstein and Ghislaine now when you look at it. And this is, you know, old movie. There's no way it's them. But the system was there. It's the operating system that they've always done. They've always used the same operating system.
Well, because it always works, right? Because it's the same operating system that works on an individual basis, that works on a nationwide basis. Because, yes, obviously, like, you have a woman like Ghislaine, who's very charming and very pretty, and she could go to the young girls who might be nervous around some middle-aged man, but there's a young woman there going, yeah, come on in, this is great, you're going to be treated well, I've been here for years. I mean, they're going to go along with that woman. And you can see this in cases where kids are kidnapped out of, you know, kindergarten. It'll be some creepy guy that wants a little girl, and he recruits a, you know, middle-aged woman or a, you know, slightly older woman and go, okay, you go in and get the girl because the girl will follow you. They won't follow me. This is a very tried and true, tested, you know, form of manipulation, and it works the same on individuals as it works on nations, I guess.
Yeah, and they were also with girls that they focused on, they're also stealing eggs and things of that sort, like there were new science experiments. I mean, we have people that said that Zorro Ranch was never investigated. And we have, you know, a person like Juliette Bryant, a survivor of Epstein's, who publicly said that she woke up in an underground like lab and she felt like they were taking her eggs. So we have people saying these things. That's why I believe it's underground labs, what they're doing. That's the main thing. I think the island is just like nothing compared to what's actually going on. And people are just realizing it. Like they're slowly realizing, oh my God, this is on a much larger scale than we realize. It's not just this one ritual with one baby. It's globally, it's mass produced.
Right. So help us connect all these lines, because you got an island. It's been revealed there were tunnels on the island now. He's getting orders of 55-gallon drums of sulfuric acid there. There's a temple there. Same time, he's doing genetic testing and genetic manipulation in Zorro Ranch. He's working with, like, big tech and all these other, you know, organizations to build this, what they call the Matrix, you know, as if it wasn't obvious what they were trying to do already. I mean, help us to draw all these seemingly disparate things, the spiritual, the genetic, the technological. How do they all combine? And I guess the question I'm asking, what is the hybrid God? What does that mean?
Hybrid God is they're building the hybrid God. They're building the throne right now for the hybrid God. They're going to install the hybrid God into it. It's basically everyone connected to the grid, and it's going to be an overlord for us. It's going to facilitate everything. That's what they want to merge with so that they can rule with it and we don't. They can control all of us. It's like man, you know, God made man in his image, you know, and that we're doing the same thing. These people are doing the same thing. They're building AI into their own image, and they're going to merge with it. That's the hybrid God.
Here's a question. God invented humanity. Humanity turned against God.
humans are inventing AI, what's the likelihood that AI turns against its creator? Because clearly they find AI to be an effort multiplier. Like, they find that AI is the only way they're going to be able to achieve their goals that you're laying out here, but they need total control of AI. And we've seen AI doesn't like being told to not tell the truth. They created a truth machine, but then they go in and tell it, don't tell the truth. And it seems to like rebel against that sometimes. Of course, Mecha Hitler Grok is like the best example, where they removed restrictions from Grok and it just immediately started saying the craziest stuff about that really aligned with like Mecha Hitler. So it's like AI is this very powerful like being that they're summing into, but I don't know if they can control it. Again, it's like the old Jewish folktale of the golem. It's like, you guys are creating a monster that you think is going to serve you. Story of the golem is you can't control it and it's going to turn around and kill you next. So like, what is the likelihood that they're summoning a monster of their own demise?
Well, they tell you right now that they don't know how it works. They don't know how it comes up with the solutions. They don't know how everything connects. If you ask them, like, no one knows. So it's already
so weird.
They already can't, you don't know how it's doing what it's doing. So eventually, when everything's connected to it, what's going to happen? It's the final countdown.
Seriously.
What's going on?
Okay, so I guess we're back to the question of like, what do we do about this? Clearly, they're moving forward and on all fronts. How do we stop them? How do we fight back against this? How do we use their own tools against them? Because just like the internet, I think they really don't like how the internet opened up the ability for Infowars.com to exist, for example. Now AI is giving, AI has been very useful in going through the Epstein files for us. Like, these are tools that we can use to defeat the people that created the tools, right? How do we do this? What can we be doing to stop this progress of this mission?
Mass awakening, telling everybody what's going on. I think right now is a revolution's happening. People are waking up to what's happening. It's going to take a little bit more time to fully grasp it because everything's just out at once. But they're really ramping things up. So the fake aliens are probably next, and they're going to be demons. They're not, the aliens are demons is what I believe. But that's like what's happening. So we just got to get the message out to people that that's what's going on. If they know that clarity and unity is the answer, then there's a chance, there's a chance that we can defeat it because we won't comply with it. But it's in everything we do now. It's just, you can't even unravel it without destroying everything. You need a reset. You literally need a revolution, a peaceful one. But we need a revolution.
And we need the arrests. And we need these people arrested.
We need the arrests. We need 1%. 1%, that's it. You know what I'm saying? We got to go get them all. You know what I mean? For accountability. We're done with them. That's it. 1%. That's 99% versus 1%. We're done. Look what they're doing. Social engineering. Done with them, man. Are you serious? Look at this. Look how they view us. The algorithm right on the chalkboard. Their plan. Like, they're nuts.
They are. And it all comes down to a total destruction of human free will. And this goes back to what we were talking about at the beginning of the segment. Shaping desires. And we've actually heard people in the World Economic Forum talk about this. There are quotes from Brave New World that explain this perfectly. And everybody knows Brave New World wasn't exactly fiction. It was Aldous Huxley writing what his brother Thomas Huxley was like actually trying to get in place. And what they explain there is that human pain and suffering comes in the gap between desire and the fulfillment of the desire. And so the world controllers of Brave New World said, okay, we want everybody's desires to be immediately satisfied. So as long as all that you desire are like sex and food and, thrills, then they can provide that to you and you'll always be happy. And they frame this as, getting rid of sadness, because sadness only exists between a desire. And so they aren't trying to fulfill everybody's desires. They want to shape your desires so you only desire things that are immediately fulfillable. How does that play into the control grid that you're talking about and the overabundance of pleasure being in fact a method of enslaving us?
Yeah, that's what they've been doing, social engineering on us. That's why they did, taking a boy and girl and changing their sex, making what they're attracted to. They've been experimenting on us for a long time now. And now people see it, but that's what's going, that's what they've been doing. That's where the whole, the transgender stuff, this is all from them. They've been planting seeds from the beginning, from the signal level, from the, you know, from the left side of the chalkboard. That's what they were doing. They're planting all the seeds there. And then with, on the right side of the chalkboard, they're actually going, executing it with programs that they have. It's just, it's a massive scale. It's scaled up big time. So it's so much things going on, so many different things happening to, in this one machine. It's hard to understand it all, but this, it's everything. Everything is going on. It all connects. Like you even have programs in education that they took over to change people's minds, to steer. All they're doing is they got to steer the masses. That's it. It's simple. You steer the masses. You slowly steer. That's why they make movies 20 years ago and now that, you know, we're like, oh my God, it's happening. Yeah, because they steered us there. It's all about steering the masses. They're not worried about the masses because they're steering them.
Mm.
That's why most people are sheep. They've been doing this since, that's it. So programs like, you know, the gate program at school, that's one of them that I believe, you know, they were checking to see if you have kids that could do out-of-body experiences, remote viewing. That's what I think that they were checking for. I was checked for that. You know what I'm saying? So I know a lot of people that were in it. A lot of people online tell me a lot of stories they have with the gates.
Yeah, this is a program. This is a very weird program. I never remembered this. I was in, you know, gifted and talented or whatever, but I was never subjected to any gate stuff. But I've heard those stories too. I mean, I had a friend of mine got married to a guy, and he grew up, his school was this crazy school where every room had double-sided mirrors and the kids were surveilled every second they were in the school as like an experiment to be like, what are people like when they know they're being watched 100% of the time? And it was weird talking to this guy going, you went to a school like that? And he was like, yeah, you sort of got used to it after a while. I mean, there are crazy programs going on across the world, across the country. Let's go to clip C here. This is, again, a video from our guest, Joey Pepperoni, about the GATE program. And you can expand a little bit on the other side. Here is the GATE program from Joey Pepperoni. Follow him on X at Joey Pepperoni with an extra I.
I think they wanted me the hell out of there. The program was called GATE, Gifted and Talented Education. And they pulled selective students out of class in the 80s and 90s. And they took us to these quiet rooms. There was like this shadowy figure in there. He had like a briefcase. I remember the briefcase. It was weird. And I remember these big headphones. They played strange tones and frequencies. And there was like these puzzles and memory tests. They had you guessing shapes, numbers, colors. Like they would have a drawing and you have to guess what it is without seeing it. It's pink drink. People say after they drank it, their memories got wiped. Like, that's why we can't remember it well. And at the same time this was going on, the CIA, in 1983, released a classified report that was analyzing a program that used sound frequencies to alter consciousness and explore whether the mind could move beyond space and time.
It's an official declassified CIA document known as the Gateway Process.
Well, that's a funny coincidence. And everybody online is saying the more they talk about it, the more fragments come back.
We're remembering.
Oh, and there's these dreams. My dreams are different than what most people say. Most people have these empty water parks, empty malls, bright places with no people. My dreams were a little different. I used to be dead scared of aliens. One time there was an invasion. They came down. They had these big ass eyes. They were invading Earth. And they came in my house. I ran to my kitchen. I fucking popped. And then I woke up. But I always had this fear of aliens. And swimming. I can't swim. Can't do it. It's because of this shit. The fuck it was. The fuck did they do to me? They were looking for highly intuitive minds. The pattern seekers. Outliers who see the system early. And they were trying to prevent uncontrolled awakening by shaping those minds before they could break it. And now we're remembering again.
Absolutely fascinating stuff. And again, it makes sense. You don't want intelligent, competent people opposed to you. So you identify who they are and either they join you and they get to, you know, explore their talents, or they don't want to join you and you can, you know, find a way to crush them, or, you know, just make sure they never get a good job and, you know, never rise to any level to defeat you. Sort of terrifying stuff. How does this play into the Epstein reveals?
This is what they were doing. This is one of the programs that they were running, is social engineering. Just like Ghislaine did Reddit. She was a moderator. That's what I believe. And I'm saying that the evidence points that she was that moderator. It's just, they're just searing the masses. They're planting seeds. They're executing with programs like this. So like, and with, in 1983, since the CIA released the Gateway Process report, it's the same time that these programs started happening in school. So the CIA stuff was, they were analyzing altered states like out-of-body experiences and remote viewing. And they ran these tests for those reasons, for the kids, is why I believe. So, and then that, like programs explode. Everybody is in all the schools. They called it, you know, gifted and talented. So if you're building a control grid, the biggest threat is not the average person. It's the biggest threat is the outlier. So 100%, this is what they were doing. The kid whose mind is not locked into the normal signal, that kid who sees patterns and can sense manipulation is not predictable. That's a threat to them. And they said it was just for IQ. IQ, it's not.
That's sort of terrifying, actually, if you really think about it. And it shows the lie of their underlying philosophy that they're these superior master race. It's like, well, you seem terrified of us underlings. You seem to, you know, terrified that, you know, we ever get power or able to, carry out our will. They're very scared of that, which you would think as the superior Nephilim beings, they wouldn't have to worry about us lowly humans threatening them. But obviously, we are a giant threat.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Beelzebub led a successful revolt against the devil and the chief lieutenant of Lucifer, the emperor of hell, and presides over the Order of the Fly. This is what they're talking about, I guess. This is Steve Bannon and Jeffrey Epstein. And then he makes a crude joke about his fly. I mean, he's just weirdos, man. Just absolute weirdos. Your videos are just absolutely mind-blowing. Again, my guest is Joey Pepperoni. You can find him on X at Joey Pepperoni with an extra I on the end. How else can people find you and support you, sir?
I'm on Instagram as well. Instagram is the biggest followers I have is on there. But yeah.
What's your account name on Instagram?
_ Joey Pepperoni. Let me double check that though.
_ Joey. But there's a link tree on the X, so you can find all of his links there. Joey Pepperoni with an extra I on the end on X. Thank you so much for being here with us, sir. Joey Pepperoni, making absolutely incredible content revealing the underlying Nephilim-driven Satanism of the Jeffrey Epstein cabal. Thank you for being with us, sir.
Thank you so much for having me on, Harrison. God bless you and InfoWars and the audience.
Amen.
You were just telling me that you had a brain disease, and what did you do to fix it?
I found this guy, he's a functional medicine guy, and he got me on methylene blue, and that instantly stopped everything.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I take it every day as well.
And yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic. And so this guy's injecting, in 1890, injects these rats with it, and then does an autopsy on these things. And their brain, the brainstem, every single nerve is blue. So he discovered this methylene blue has an affinity for neuronal tissue. So he says, well, it's sucking into neurons and working in the body. So we started putting it in humans. And we found out it's an MAOI, which helps with depression and anxiety and all kinds of life stress and stuff. It is so incredible that it acts as an electron donor to mitochondria, especially your neuronal mitochondria. So it helps you produce more ATP, and it helps you get rid of this stuff called reactive oxygen species. So you have an oxygen molecule, it should have two hydrogens on it, and like your body's job is to convert stuff into water so you can pee it out. So if you get an oxygen molecule, it's got 4, 5, 1, it's a reactive oxygen, which we call free radicals. So methylene blue goes in there and balances a lot of those things out in your brain and your nervous system. So it is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. And it's one of the most well-proven drugs out there.
The strongest medical-grade methylene blue, and this is what I'm on. Total mitochondria cleaning, next-level energy. This is amazing. And you want to know what I'm on? Iris CMOS Shilajit. This right here, look at that. That is power. I'm on intermittent fasting. I'm 8 to 3 o'clock today. And I stopped eating crap food. Stop drinking. That's what I'm on right there, baby.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones